I want to invite you to make sure you come on Wednesday night. Not only will we have a good supper, I know, but we will have a time of discussion afterwards where we are prayerfully discerning what God's asking us to do as a church. And we're to the point now of looking at this. We started it in January. We're at the point now of trying to bring forward some ideas of what we perceive God's asking us to do. And I know the tendency here of folks sometimes is you think the idea you got's not meaningful enough and it's too small. We need everybody to come in and put their 2 cents in. Because it may be, as I wrote in my article for the Beacon, it may be somebody's just one sentence thing, what you might consider your 2 cents, that puts everything together. So we need you here. And we need you telling us what you perceive God is saying. And once we hear all of that together, it's going to be obvious. But I have, as a pastor for many years now, have known that a lot of people are afraid to say what they think God is saying. And they save it till way later. And sometimes trying to discern what God's asking us to do makes it much easier when everybody puts in their 2 cents. So I'm trying to create on Wednesday night an atmosphere where we all can do that. We can throw out our 2 cents and we can look at all the pennies laying on the floor and we can figure out which ones come together for what God's asking us to do. So I encourage you to be here on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock for supper. If you can't make supper, 6:45, we will begin a discussion time as we are looking at things. And just so that you know, normal what I would do for Bible study on Wednesday nights, we are doing on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. So next week we will be looking at the book of Jude, the whole book. Okay? Every word in the book of Jude we'll be looking at next Sunday morning. And then in 2 weeks after that, I'm going to start the Gospel of Luke so that we can look at the Gospel of Luke together and see how Jesus interacts with the world so that we have an idea of how we should be interacting with the world. Today, the topic is something that many of you have heard from old, old times. You must fear God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wow, you guys, you're still showing me that you memorize Scripture. So we're going to talk about that today, and I want to start reading. I left off in verse 11, so I'm going to continue reading in verse 12 through the end of Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. There's not a nation on earth, I don't think, All peoples want God to bless their nation and establish them as great. I truly believe that's something that all nations want. They want God to bless them. They want God to establish them as great. And I guess I would have to ask, if God does one nation that doesn't see eye to eye with another nation, I'm guessing somebody's prayer didn't get answered. I mean, it's like going to a baseball game and praying that your team wins. I'll bet there's just as many people praying that the other team wins. Now, what does God do in a situation like this? How does God decide which prayer is going to be answered? Yours or the other person's for the other team? Would it not be true the same of nations? God bless our nation. God make us great. We ask that and we pray that, don't we? And sometimes we even sing that. God bless America. Do we ever sing God bless Africa? Or God bless England? We're always asking for our country to be blessed. We're always asking God to establish us as great. And that is something that we always do. But in the midst of this psalm, it says, the Lord sees that some trust in leaders, some trust in strength, and some trust in military might. And I hope you notice what this psalm says about this. Because it says in verse 16 through 18, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. As I read those two verses, it talks about hoping and trusting in our leaders. It talks about hoping and trusting in our own strength. It talks about hoping and trusting in our military might. When it says horses in this psalm, that was military might for their day. That's what they had. And if I add chariots to that, at the time when chariots come along, that's the military strength. And this psalmist says all of those things are for naught. All of those things are not things to put your trust in. Because we can see throughout history what happens. Leaders fail, correct? There have been leaders throughout history that fail. There have been, when people trust in their own strength, they fail. And there have been complete militaries that have failed, even though they were known to be the best military of the time. I can think of one case where the biggest warrior ever was fallen by the smallest person with a stone. Do you know that story? And the whole military failed because of it. The trust was in one warrior that a little shepherd boy took care of. Because he had a different trust. It wasn't in his own strength. It wasn't in his leader. And it wasn't in military might. By the way, I hope sometime you go and read that story. Because it says that David went and picked up 5 stones. Before he marched out to the battlefield to fight Goliath. Did you ever wonder what the other four stones were for? I think David had the confidence he was going to hit him the first time, so why did he pick up four more? Tradition tells us that Goliath had four brothers. And David was prepared if he needed to do something more. But we happen to know that his trust was somewhere else. Because if you go and read that story in detail, does anybody remember what King Saul did before he sent David out on the battlefield? Gave David his armor. And David tried to use it, and what did David say? Too big, it won't work for me. I'm not trusting in your military might. Now remember that story. We'll get back to it here in a second. But you see, it says, this psalm tells me that God looks down upon the earth. Verse 13, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. And then the psalmist says that some trust in leaders, some trust in strength, and some trust in military might. But it says down in verse 18, but the eyes of the Lord are looking on those who fear him, on those whose hope is on his unfailing love. The Lord is very specifically looking for people that fear God. Now, this fear of God is not being scared of God. That's not what it means. It's a different definition. It's not that I'm shaking in my boots when I approach God. That's the wrong kind of fear. That's not what this psalm is about. And how do I know that? Because I can look back up into, let me go back up and find the verse that I've already read for you as we started our service. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Then it says, let all the people of the earth revere him. Now let me explain something to you about Hebrew poetry. Because Hebrew poetry is different than English poetry. Hebrew poetry does not rhyme as our poetry does. Hebrew poetry has this structure that's called parallelism. And what you do in Hebrew poetry is you say a statement, and then you say the exact same thing again with different words. That's how Hebrew poetry works. So when I look at verse 8, what does it say? Let all the earth fear the Lord. How do I know this is not being scared of God and shaking in my boots? Because the very next phrase, in parallel with this, says the same thing in a different way. It says, let all the people of the world revere him. Now, does revere mean something different to you than sometimes what we think about when we say fear? Revere means respect, that I hold God in high regard and that I look up to God. So this fear that's talked about in this psalm is a deep respect that only God can carry them through. That's what this fear is. It's not being scared about what God can do to you if you do wrong. It's about respecting God. It's about having a deep place in your heart that God takes the first priority, the top priority, and you look to God for hope, for trust, for strength, not to leaders, not to our own power, not to military might. We need to look to God. And what did David tell King Saul when he said, I can't wear your armor? And what did he say to Goliath when he came out upon the field? He said, my God will take care of me. And my God will help me to defeat you, Goliath. Where was his trust? Was it in his own strength? Was it in King Saul? Was it in military might and the best of weapons of the day? No. It was in a rock and a sling. Now, I really hope someday I could possibly learn how to do that. Because those people that can do that in the Middle East right now are extremely accurate with two pieces of string, a little piece of leather, and a rock. And they swing it around like this and let it go and can hit. Now, I can hit something with a slingshot. I don't have any problem doing that. I'm pretty perfect at that. My kids got their Frisbee stuck in the tree one time, and they said, Dad, can you get it out? And I said, let me go get my slingshot, and I picked up some rocks, and I hit it a couple of times, but it wouldn't come out of the tree. So what did my kids say? You can always count on kids. My kids said, Dad, you didn't even hit it. That's why it didn't come out of the tree. And about 3 days later, the wind blew it out of the tree, and it had a hole right through it. I said, I told you I hit it. And they're like, okay, you did. But David just has two pieces of leather thong, a piece of leather, and a rock. And Goliath is the biggest of men there is and has been taunting for days on end. And David comes out, and Goliath says, ha, 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 you send this weak little boy against me. As your champion. And David says, God's got this, not me. David's trust was not in the Lord. I mean, not in his leader, King Saul. David's trust was not in his own strength. David's trust was not in the best military weapons of the day. His trust was in God. That's what it means to fear God. Which nation is God going to bless when people pray for that? Those who trust in God. Those who put their hope in God. That's what it means to fear God. It's not being scared because God's going to punish me when I do something wrong. It's not shaking in my boots because I'm afraid to approach God. It's trusting God deeply, respecting God deeply, and knowing the power that God has to bring things about. Knowing that, that's what it's about. That's what this psalm is telling us. It's those who fear God. So a nation's blessing only comes when people live with the respect and the trust of God. That's the only way it happens. It does not happen by building the largest military. It does not happen by trusting in the leaders that we have. It does not happen by me standing up and going, I'm so strong and I can knock you down forever. By the way, that's even when I was of the nature to fight. the way I fought was, I know you're going to beat me up, but you're going to know who hurt you when you walk away. You'll remember me, but you'll probably beat me up, and I'll wish we hadn't gotten in a fight. And can I tell you, every fight went that way. That's what happens when we trust in our own strength. It will fail us. It will fail us. When we trust in our military, it will fail us. When we trust in leaders that we think can solve every issue and every problem, it will fail us. No matter who the leader is, it doesn't matter. Only when we trust in God, only when we hope in God, only when we revere God as the top priority of our lives, only when we're like David and we go, God's got this, I don't. Because that's all that David said. You've tried to scare us for a long time, but God's got this, and God will take care of it. So sometimes what we need to do, and I know I'm gonna go to meddling right now, okay? So be prepared. We need to stop controlling things. And we need to let God take control. We need to stop thinking we can solve everything. And we need to let God take control. And I need to stand firmly, and I need to say this: God's got this. I don't. We spent over 6 months, 8 months now talking about where's God leading us as a church. What is the ministries that God wants us to be more deeply involved in and to fund and so many things. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it very clearly. I don't know. It's as scary for me as it is for you. I don't know at this point in time. But I do know this. God's got it. And if there is something, and I know there is, that God's asking us to do, God's got it. And it will work. God's got it. And maybe all I do need is just a little rock. And God will work the whole thing out. Maybe that's all I need. Because if it's something that God wants us to do, how can we fail? Even if it's something impossible. I mean, I'm sorry. David had an incredible amount of God's going to take care of this in him. But when you stand in front of an 8-9 foot tall man who's laughing at you with a sword and you got a rock, do you not think that David went, oh, I did something wrong? Do you not think that for a moment he went, you see, we need to step into what God has for us, and we need to trust God, and God is going to bless us, and God is going to overwhelm us. Our trust, our hope needs to be in God and God alone, nowhere else. And we will see incredible blessings. That's what it means to fear God. It means to have great and deep respect that, you know what, my God can work this out. The God that I serve can work this out. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing in front of you. I would not. And I would not tell you about this. You know why? Because I'd still be walking my own way, trying to control everything by my own strength, knowing it's going to work out. God has shown my wife and I too many things through the years and has worked through impossible situations with all capital letters, impossible. And sometimes all I've had is a little rock in my pocket, which is all David had. Do you fear the Lord? And for me, if you're fearing the Lord, it means you have a growing and a deep respect for God and what God can do. So I ask you a very similar question that I've asked you many, many times. Do you have a daily growing and living relationship with God? I'm convinced that the psalmist did, and I'm convinced that David did. Do you have a daily growing and living relationship with God? Let's pray. Lord, there's been too many times in the history of Christianity that people have talked about having this fear of you and being scared of you and just shaking in our boots because we don't know whether you're going to accept us or not. But this psalmist gives us such a different picture. A picture that says this fear is a deep and a powerful respect of who you are, what you can do, and how you can take care of us. And Lord, within us, many times we want you to bless us. We want you to bless our nation and make it the greatest nation on earth. And the problem is sometimes we divide that from having a relationship with you. But your scriptures are very clear that relationship is needed. That relationship, which is a daily, growing, ongoing thing, is needed. And yet sometimes we just run to you and ask you to fix things and bless us. Work deep within our hearts that we may not fail having that daily relationship with you. And it may be truly we could be like David and say, what stands in front of me looks awful big, makes a lot of noise, and it's probably ugly. But if I put my trust in you, Lord, you'll take care of it. Lord, thank you for hearing the cries of our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.